From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
In particular, at a competitive institution, a competitive or selective institution, students got to understand again that there's an academic qualification piece, step one. You got to have the grades, test scores, take the rigorous courses, do all of that. And then you got to figure out how to stand out. And so the way in which my company chooses to help students stand out is by using student characteristics, because most of these colleges will tell you that they're looking for certain types of qualities. And so we teach the students which qualities are the ones that the parents, that the colleges want to see. We really help them figure out, you know, how can I build those qualities? Because it's one thing to tell somebody, well, you've got to be enthusiastic or you've got to show ambition. But the other thing is you got to, as a parent, you got to almost see the opportunity for the student to do it.
Dr. Rudy Jackson Jr., founder and president of College Prep Professionals, LLC. There's no set formula for getting into college. No combination of high school courses will ensure your admission into your dream school. But Jackson's company helps students and their parents find the best college fit, get admitted to these schools, and prepare them to succeed there. Jackson, along with his wife Karen, started his company 10 years ago to help family and friends. Jackson Pruvey was an assistant dean at Vanderbilt University and worked in the Department of Education at Davidson College. Currently, he serves as director of co-curricular assessment at Georgia's Gwinnett College. Jackson works with students remotely as well as in person. He provides consultation, courses, and one-on-one coaching. He recommends that families start preparing for college and middle school. I'm Johnny O'Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, College Prep Professionals, LLC, with President and CEO Dr. Rudy Jackson, Jr., Part 2, In Black America.
One of the toughest things to do in any business is to kind of tell your story to your customer. And because most people haven't hired a college coach or taken a class and preparing for college, it's a big leap for us. I mean, they understand SAT prep, they understand driver's ed, but this is kind of new. But, you know, we don't have a problem, you know, spending on, you know, basketball coaching or tennis lessons or swimming lessons. And so in many ways, this is just the next thing, especially if, you know, your kids are aspiring to these really competitive and selective schools. And we're just trying to find a really supportive and affordable way to help parents, help their kids get there, because that's really what the goal is.
Based in Atlanta, Georgia, and founded by Dr. Rudy Jackson Jr., who has extensive experience in higher education as an administrator and instructor, College Prep Professionals offer family guidance in areas that few are equipped to navigate on their own. Their staff have over 35 years of experience helping students, parents, schools, and churches with a wide range of educational needs. Their creativity and quality commitment have led them to win awards for service. Most importantly, they have helped clients find the best college fit, gain admission to those colleges, and prepare for success once on campus. Jackson has served as a college professor and administrator, director of academic learning, coordinator of pre-college programs, and a member of college scholarship and admission committees for the past 18 years at institutions such as Vanderbilt University, Davidson College, and Randolph-Macon College. Jackson is passionate about helping parents and students improve their chances of being admitted to the top 100 colleges and universities. On today's program, we conclude our conversation with Dr. Rudy Jackson.
What it is about that school that makes it your dream school, and then let's figure out, can you get that somewhere else? And so if you want to go there because you feel like they have one of the best engineering schools and you don't feel like you're going to be able to get in there, let's look at some other engineering schools that you can get into. Or let's look at some other schools you can get into as a freshman, and then let's see if you can just be academically outstanding in your first year and then transfer to Georgia Tech. Because many times a direct route may be blocked, but there may be a way to get in through transfer or some other ways. And I actually had a client that actually did just that, had a parent who was a Georgia Tech alum.
Mm-hmm.
They did not get into Georgia Tech as a high school graduate. They went to another school in the what we call the USG system, the U.S. system of Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great semester. The folks at Georgia Tech in the engineering program told that young man, you know, these are the things we're looking for to make you competitive to transfer in. He knocked it out, and he's at Georgia Tech as a sophomore. So, you know, sometimes that goal can still be achieved, but then sometimes it's not. And I just tell them, hey, there's no guarantee. We got to look at, if you want to be an engineer, let's look at other opportunities to be an engineer, for example.
By and large, are most universities and colleges' admission processes similar?
No, actually, in many ways, they can be very, very different. First of all, based on admission. And so some schools are what we call like a research one institution, very mm-hmm. high focused on, you know, research. We have some that are more teaching institutions. And we have some that have very strong public missions that, you know, for that state, they really want to support the students of that state, and they, you know, really give the students in the state a higher priority. And so the institution's really different. Some are access institutions. My current institution is an open access institution.
Okay.
And so because of that, the process differs quite a bit. I think for many students, at least historically, they've looked at, let's say, maybe the flagship public at, let's say, UT Austin or University of Virginia or University of North Carolina Chapel Hill or University of Georgia, and they think about, okay, well, to go to this school, I'm going to have a certain SAT score. I'm going to have to be in the range with a certain GPA and take a certain number of APs or IBs. And so for most students, they start by looking at the profile and finding out kind of what's required as it relates to their academic performance, and then, you know, where do they stand in that mix. And so if you and I were applying this year to UGA or UT Austin, that would be the first thing we want to figure out, along with some scholarship things to see if, you know, do we fall, are we meeting the criteria maybe to qualify for scholarship dollars at that institution. But it does differ, and that's the other reason why when I'm talking to these parents of ninth graders in particular, to let them know that if you already got some colleges on your radar, let's at least do a little bit of homework. You mm-hmm. know, it's not the days where you got to go get this big book from the library and start flipping through pages.
Right.
All you got to do is get online and go on these admission websites. If nothing else, you can just Google it, you know, and it's going to take you right there. And just look at the profile and say, you know, the entering class, a lot of times they'll do what they call the middle 50%. And, you know, not the bottom 25 or the top 25, that middle 50%. This is what their GPA looks like, any test scores that may be required, and if they're taking, you know, upper-level classes and things like that. And that gives you a sense of, you know, this is what I'm going to need if I'm freshman or ninth grader. This is where I'm going to need to be if I really want to be competitive for the academic piece. Now, a lot of places, that's not it.
Mm-hmm.
But just to get past step one, you got to be academically qualified. Now, if you happen to also want to go to a school that's really, really competitive, and there are 10,000, 20,000, or 30,000 students that want to go there, then you got to be academically qualified and then get into the pool of those folks that still may be another 10,000 students. Then you got to figure out how you differentiate yourself so you can be chosen among the academically qualified.
Dr. Jackson, how do you navigate, and this just came to mind, the parents have one idea of what their child higher education is going to be, and the student has a different idea of what their higher education they want. How do you navigate that conversation, or does that come up, or has it come up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not only come up at the high school level. It continues on during college.
Okay.
Because, you know, for parents who are paying for their kids' college education,
mm-hmm.
they are going to have some say, influence, input into major and things like that. And so, like, when I was in the teaching department Department of Education at Davidson, you know, parents were paying close to $40,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to rationalize, well, my kid graduates and becomes certified to teach in the state of North Carolina. How are they going to pay this money, how are we going to pay this money back? Or they're not going to be able to earn as much as we're paying for college, you know? And so sometimes there were financial reasons why, you know, there may be differences. And at the core, and this is a lot of times I'm mediating, you know, listen to parents and talking to students and, you know, students, you know, teenager at that time where they're trying to define themselves outside of their parents or, you know, in conjunction with their parents. But having them understand that at the end of the day, there's a universal desire of every parent, and that is to help their kid have a better life than they had. I've yet to meet a parent that has told me different than that. Now, what that road looks like, whether it is going to a four-year college or going to college right after high school or whatever it is, if we can all agree that that's what the goal is, then we start saying, well, you know, the parent wants these things to happen because they believe this is going to position you well. But the student believes these things. And in many cases, that's just a developmental bridge that, you know, a parent and son or daughter have to figure out. They've got to navigate that. And many times, there's not a whole lot I can do, but listen, support, maybe give, you know, some options of, you know, if a parent wants, you know, a certain major and a student wants another major, maybe we look at schools that have both of those majors. So there's some flexibility for that student that may not be at other schools where maybe they really want to be a marine biologist, so they want to go to the University of Florida, but the parent wants them at, you know, University of Chicago. And so you have to navigate some of that stuff. But it's one of those things where my role is to coach and to guide and to provide as much support and information to all parties. And that really goes back to my training as a school psychologist, the exact same thing I would do when I had a third grader who was being tested for gifted or tested for a learning disability. And so it's still a really good fit for kind of what the way in which I try to help these families.
Dr. Jackson, before we run out of time, a couple more questions. What are some of the examples that can assist students to make them stand out above the others in this application process?
Sure. So in particular, at a competitive institution, a competitive or selective institution, students got to understand, again, that there's an academic qualification piece, step one. You got to have the grades, test scores, take the rigorous courses, do all of that. And then you got to figure out how to stand out. And so the way in which my company chooses to help students stand out is by using student characteristics, because most of these colleges will tell you that they're looking for certain types of qualities. And so we teach the students which qualities are the ones that the parent did, that the colleges want to see. And we really help them figure out, you know, how can I build those qualities? Because it's one thing to tell somebody, well, you've got to be enthusiastic or you got to show ambition. But the other thing is you got to, as a parent, you got to almost see the opportunity for the student to do it. And so if there is a challenge in the student's life or is an opportunity, as a parent, I've got to be able to tell, or as a parent, I've got to be able to see it and say, hey, you ought to think about taking this opportunity so that you can show your teacher or show the person at your job that you're enthusiastic or that you have the type of motivation that's a lot higher than every other student. And so we have a really strong program that helps students stand out. But I'll tell you, it's not something that, it's not a cookie cutter. It's not something that you can say, okay, you know, go out and be curious. You know, now curiosity is important because at an educational institution, they really value someone that loves to learn. And so if you and I are on a scholarship committee or an admission committee and we see an essay that really shows a kid's curiosity to learn, they're going to move up in the application process. They're going to separate themselves. And so what the students really have to do is they really have to look at those qualities. They've got to figure out a way for in their classes during the summer to stand out. And then the last piece, probably the most important piece, they've got to find a way in their application to get it out there, because a lot of kids have done this stuff, but when it comes time for them to really know how unique they are, they can't articulate it to you. They don't, you know, even if the parent asks them, they say, what's special about you? You know, how, what are the characteristics that would, that show me that you are different than a kid with the exact same test scores as you. And a kid can't articulate it. But if you work with them in ninth and 10th grade and you show them those things and you put them in a classroom with their friends and you help them work on it, they can figure it out. I mean, if they can figure out AP calculus, they can figure this out. You know, it's not rocket science, but you have to be intentional. They're not going to figure it out as 17 and 18-year-olds on their own when you got 40 and 50-year-old parents that haven't figured it out. So that's my job, is to teach them what's important and what matters the most, and then to help them identify opportunities to build it. And then lastly, when it's time to get those applications on those essays and teacher recommendations, they've got to be super focused and make sure that stuff comes through loud and clear for the admission committee.
Dr. Jackson, how important is for in this process that students, if they can afford themselves, to visit these campuses?
I think it's critical. And I know it's regardless of, you know, anybody's circumstance, you probably can't visit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you talk to, you know, parents and students who go to these places, it's always really the same story. It's, you know, I've got, let's say, five colleges. I just had some friends and family just went up to the East Coast and visited some schools. And, you know, I think we're three high school seniors that were going, and they all had their list of, like, what was number one. And, you know, by the time they get back, the list has changed. And, you know, it's not that it's necessarily any secret, but you have perceptions about what you think you'll like.
Right.
You don't necessarily know that a UGA is 30,000 students, but it may not feel too big. You're like, oh, it's not too big. I'm good at my high school. My high school is 3,500. I'll be great there. And then you get there, you're like, oh, no, it really is too big.
Mm-hmm.
Or you just go up to Charlotte, to Davidson, which was maybe 1,500 or 1,600, and you're like, oh, that's not too small. And you get there, you're like, wow, this is not even close to as big as my high school. And so sometimes you have to see it, you have to feel it, and then sometimes you get a feeling that, hey, I don't feel comfortable here, or the attitude or the energy doesn't match the energy that I want to bring to my college. Now, the one caveat is that college should stretch you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have to go somewhere that's exactly like your home community, but you ought to feel comfortable enough that you feel respected, you feel safe, and that you feel like you can be yourself. Now, that's my three, that when my girls go out, they got to feel those three. But that doesn't mean that everybody's got to look like them and think like them and do the things they want to do. And so you don't know that until you go. There's no website, probably the worst thing you can do is listen to people who go there and have them tell you about it, because it's not that they're going to tell you a lie, but they're just telling you through their lens. And they can tell you all the things that they like about it, and you get up there and you hate everything that they like about it, you know. And so it's very, very important to the degree you can. And, you know, if you want to invest some time in the summer, that's a great thing to do, is to try to see as many colleges as you can. I will say this, though. Summers can be tricky because at some places the summer experience is very different than the regular school year experience. And so if you're there and you really don't get the full nature of, you know, what the energy is like or how busy it's like or how slow, then you can almost get a false read on it. But going during the summer, if that's the only time, is better than not going at all.
Part two of that question, because you mentioned, you know, attending these schools, is there any particular number of schools that one should visit? I mean, you may have a list of 10 or 15, but being realistic, whittling them down to a manageable number.
Well, that actually goes back to what we can do if we start early.
Okay.
And so, again, if we're starting early, we've got some time to do two things. We can either spread it out. Let's say we got 4 years or 5 years. We can spread them out and maybe see 10 schools.
Okay.
Or we can start really looking at what students really want and maybe start to dwindle the list or maybe add some ones they hadn't thought about. And so either way, it gets us to an opportunity to see the ones that are most important. And sometimes, even if we don't see the exact school, sometimes we can see a school that's very, very similar. So if we want to go maybe we can't get all the way up to North Carolina State. Mm-hmm. It's a large public institution. It may be very similar to Virginia Tech. And so maybe we start to group certain schools in a certain way, but understanding that, you know, Virginia Tech is in, let's say, Blacksburg, Virginia, that's kind of more rural, but NC State's in the Research Triangle, and you got, you know, a whole lot of high tech going on, a lot of research. And so even though there's some differences maybe in size and maybe the atmosphere around the culture of the athletic programs and things like that. So it's just an opportunity to see as many as you can. I would never limit someone from going there, but again, you got to fit it in. You can never do – you usually can't do everything. Time is limited. Resources are limited. But the other thing I will say is that sometimes, you know, and I'm as guilty as any kind of parent of this generation, you know, we get really, really protective of our kids. Mm-hmm. But, you know, finding either another parent that's going to, you know, take the kids up or another program that's going to take kids. And, you know, some they gotta get out there on their own sometimes, not to go by themselves, but to go in groups, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's just a good time with, you know, and with the right program, with the right group, for them to be out there, because I know how I am. I'm always in my kids' ears. And so sometimes they need to kind of figure that out on their own and, you know, see what they say when they get back and figure out, you know, what kind of questions did you ask and what did you learn? That's in many ways, if I had to say a kid was going to go on 10 visits, mm-hmm. I would say they really should go on at least half of those without the parent, just for that reason alone, to mm-hmm. build their own investment and ownership and accountability to figure out which one of these places they're going to call home for the next 3 or 4 years.
Are HBCUs being considered?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes. By a variety of people, not just African Americans.
Okay.
A couple of reasons. Number one, they have a long history of excellence. Mm-hmm. They do a great job of teaching the students that come through their doors. They do a great job connecting them to careers afterwards. They have a great cultural support system in place for African-Americans or folks who love African-American culture. I mean, you're going to get it if you're at Spelman or if you're at Diller. You're at these places where, you know, they are there to support you. The other piece that people understand is that for most, they're very, very affordable. And so mm-hmm. we know about, you know, the debt that students are graduating with, and, you know, we don't want to put that burden on our students. And so if you can get as good or better education for less money, it's a no-brainer, you know. Then the last thing I'll say is, and this becomes the hidden gem of many of these institutions, is they have standalone programs in areas that are sometimes the best in the nation, mm-hmm. whether it's in a field like pharmacy or engineering, and even if it's not a standalone, they've got partnerships with other institutions. And so a college that I had one of my former students go to, which is Tougaloo College.
Right, I was going to ask college, you about that.
Yeah, that college has had a partnership with Brown University for a pre-medical program.
Mm-hmm.
And so this student was admitted to University of Miami, and that was her number one choice, but it was $62,000 a year. Now, Miami came back and offered $40,000, but that still left $22,000 a year over 4 years, is $88,000 before you even start medical school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a large amount of debt. And so when we went back to the table, we found Tougaloo College and their program of early in medicine. And she got into the program, and so since then, she's been able to kind of do internships. She's been able to be selected for this premier program, and she's got a full ride there. And so, I mean, this summer, she actually spent a month at Harvard Medical School. So she's in the pipeline mm-hmm. to get into any of the best medical schools. She's getting mm-hmm. a great education, and she's getting it at no cost. So I certainly, even though I didn't attend HBCU, I certainly see the value in HBCUs, and I actually try to tell more and more families to look seriously at HBCUs for all those reasons, at least those four reasons I mentioned.
Dr. Jackson, how can individuals reach out to you and Karen?
Yes. Well, You know, we do have a website, so the business is College Prep Professionals, but our website is www.yourcollegepro.com. And if they want to call us, they can call us. We actually prefer the web, only that we just have a good system to follow folks, and we collect a little bit of information. But if they want to call us, it's 770-558-3528. But I'll just tell you really quickly, just so parents know, that we do three things to help parents. Number one, we do really easy and short-term consultations. So if a parent just has some questions, they want to know if they're on the right track, we make it really easy, really affordable to provide some information and for us to just get back to them and say, hey, in the next 3 or 4 days, we can answer some questions for you. If parents need more than that, we have courses. Now, our courses, until we get to a little later in the fall, are on campus, so they're just here in Gwinnett High Schools, but they will be online in October. And the courses are by kind of grade level. And so we do courses for middle schoolers, and then we do a 9th, 10th course. We do one for juniors, then we do one for seniors. And then the last thing we do is one-to-one coaching. And so we not only kind of teach the students what matters most, then we give them a step-by-step process to do those things, but we give them a monthly plan, a customized plan for their needs. And so it's not just, you know, get good grades, but it is explore the career. It is engage. It is let's compare colleges. And so it's a pretty comprehensive program for one-to-one coaching. And so those are the three things, consultation, courses, and coaching that we provide. And if you call us or send us an email, we'll respond to you, and we'll try to, first of all, find what you need, because we don't just want to sell parents information and services. Mm-hmm. We want to find a good match for you and then provide whatever you may need to help your kid be successful.
No, that's right. Any final comments, Dr. Jackson?
No, I just really appreciate you, you know, giving me and giving us and giving the business the opportunity to kind of share the information. One of the toughest things to do in any business is to kind of tell your story to your customer. And because most people haven't hired a college coach or taken a class in preparing for college, it's, you know, it's a big leap for us. I mean, they understand SAT prep, they understand driver's ed, but this is kind of new. But, you know, we don't have a problem, you know, spending on, you know, basketball coaching or tennis lessons or swimming lessons. And so there are many ways. This is just the next thing, especially if, you know, your kids are aspiring to these really competitive and selective schools. And we're just trying to find a really supportive and affordable way to help parents help their kids get there, because that's really what the goal is.
Dr. Rooney Jackson, founder and president of College Prep Professionals, LLC. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Henson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 300 West Dean Keaton Boulevard, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.